Well, good morning, everybody. My name is David Power. I'm the minister here. It's great to have so many come to our family Christmas service. We've got input from various groups within the church, and that's always wonderful to see a familiar story put in perhaps fresh ways. So you're all very welcome indeed. And this isn't the only opportunity. We can't fit all the carols that you all might like on this one occasion. So I'm afraid you're going to have to come back this evening, come back on Christmas Day, if you want to make sure of getting the one you like. And we'd love to see you then. This evening at 5 o'clock, we have a traditional carol service with just readings and carols. And then on Christmas Day, a time of thanksgiving together, a very informal time, which we would encourage everybody to come. And if you've already opened a present, bring one of your gifts and we can perhaps look at them together and enjoy what God's given us through our friends and our family. Other than that, there's nothing much going on this week as far as the church is concerned, because we're all focusing very much on the wonderful gift God's given us of each other and spending time together. So other than that, there'll be nothing else this week. We do invite you to stay after the service this morning. Goodness me. Somebody has turned the computer off. Stuart is going to come and sort this out for me, wherever he is. Thank you, Stuart. I'll keep talking before we have our first carol. But that was the problem. Thanks. Do stay for refreshments after the service. They'll be served in the back room there, coffee and tea and squashes and so on. And also after the service late this afternoon, we'll be having mince pies and so on. So we would encourage you also to stay for that. And it's good to be able to share in that sort of a way. We're going to pray now. And as we begin, that God will take charge of this service. Lord, we thank you so much for your love to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can celebrate together as families and from the youngest to the oldest one, the concept that Christmas can help us to remember that you have come to this world to meet our deepest needs is the most amazing of truths. And we just pray, Lord, that we would find this striking us afresh this morning and this evening and whenever we can meet with your people over this period. We thank you for all the other stuff that goes on at Christmas that everybody can enjoy, of all faiths and none. But Lord, particularly we thank you that we can come because we know the one who was born and has made all the difference to our lives, and we trust will be at work in the lives of many others too. So we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wonderful promise was given. Straight after. Yes, well, I shall read this instead. Isaiah gave us a great promise. In Isaiah chapter 9, the Lord speaking to him said this. He said, particularly for people who are living in gloom. There you go. A boy is born, a child is born, a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You need to just stop and think about those titles. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What a child this must have been. And of the increase of his government and peace, there's going to be no end. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on forever. What Jesus was coming to do would last forever. And he is the one that we are here to worship. We're here to consider the wonder of a birth which happened far away and long ago and continues to have amazing relevance even today. So we're going to stand and sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, Joyful and Triumphant, and let's sing out to God's praise.
Joyful and triumphant, joy.
as a church over the past year or so. New babies have featured a little bit here as well. It's been wonderful that at least two of our families have been blessed with another addition to them. There's little Kynwyn and Grace have both been born during the year. And of course, that's a special time for the whole family, isn't it, when a baby is born. What things does a baby actually need? I was thinking about that. What do they actually need? We give them so much these days. Anybody tell me what this is a picture of? Clothes. That's right. Not really very hard, is it? Baby clothes. You want to dress your baby up, especially in England, because it gets so cold, doesn't it? And they need to be wrapped up in something. What about this?
Jars.
Any idea what is in the jars? Food, right. Baby food especially. Baby food, that is. And I've made sure it's nice and not advertising. You can't really read what it is. So that's food. Babies need food. They need to grow and they need to eat for that. What about this?
Cupboards.
There's cupboards. There are some cupboards, you're right. Yeah? Sorry? It's a cot. All the things that a baby might have in this room. And I thought that would be perhaps a picture of shelter. Babies need somewhere to live, don't they? They need a roof over their head. They need something that's a bit more comfortable. And finally, what about this? What's that? Yeah, right at the back. Yeah? You want to shout out? No. A family. Well done. Family will do, yes. Why don't you just shout it out? That's fine. We're not in school, so that's no problem. You need family as well. And they give you love. And they look after you and help you to really feel that you belong somewhere. And these things are really important for children to have, for babies to have. Clothes and shelter and care and food. And although Jesus might not have had everything he deserved, because of course he was the great creator of the whole world, and yet he came and became human, and that's an amazing amount of stuff he gave up. But these things he did have, didn't he? He was wrapped up, we were told, in clothes. We know that he got food because he grew up, and we told later that he grew up really healthy and strong. We know that he was put at least into a cattle shed or some sort of area where animals were kept, so he had some shelter. And most important, perhaps, of all, he had a mum and dad to look after him. Mary and Joseph were there. Many people, of course, in our world don't even have that. And that's so sad, isn't it, to think there are many people today who haven't got one, two, three, perhaps any of these things in their lives. And so we feel at Christmas it's good that if we give anything in our offerings as a church, that we focus it all on that sort of a situation. And today and over this Christmas period, our offerings here in the church at Longmeadow are going to an organisation called Tear Fund, which seeks to help people in other countries, and particularly where there's disasters or ongoing relief needs. But also, so that it's more near at home, we're going to be sending part of that as well to the Stevenage Haven for people in this country, in this town itself, who haven't got anywhere to live of their own. And so we're going to sing a song in a moment, and we'll be collecting up an offering, and you might have brought some money and want to give that. And all of it will go towards Tear Fund and the Stevenage Haven. We're going to sing a carol that isn't perhaps very well known, but I know you'll know the tune. And we're going to listen to the music play through one time, and then we'll sing together. But perhaps we can start collecting the offering straight away. Thank you. always so encouraging when it takes too long to collect the offering. Haven't got songs long enough. But as we just finished collecting the offering, let's just pray together and thank God for what he's given us. Lord, you have given us so much, and this Christmas time especially in our culture and society tends to be such a time of excess. We just thank you that you have given us so much. Help us to be generous in wanting to share that with others. And we pray for those who are needy and who don't have the things that we have. We pray that you would take even these offerings that we have here, and that you would use them to help the needs of those who have so much less. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks ago, I had the great pleasure and joy of being able to have a carol service here for one of the local schools. And they all came in, and as I walked in, one of them said to me, "Is your name Rev D. Power?" And I said, "Well, that's how some people might call me." And he said, "Oh, when I saw that, I thought we were coming to a rap or something." So I was sorry to have to disappoint him, and that wasn't the way it was. But Rev D. Power isn't going to present anything like that just now. But so that we can again see this story presented in a perhaps a slightly fresh way, some of our young people have risen to the challenge, and they now present to us Christmas All Wrapped Up, and it's written by somebody who's one of our regular attenders here as well, so we thank him for that. But I'll hand over now to the youngsters.
Come on, y'all, come and gather around.
I want you to give it up to make some sound.
First you gotta listen while we make our noise. We got a Christmas story for you girls and boys.
Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible says, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day.
So clap your hands and get your feet tapping.
Let's go.
Give us some rhythm for the Christmas rapping. That's okay. Keep it up. Go. Yo, listen up now. Listen to me and I'll tell you all how it came to be. God in heaven sent his angel to this earth. His name is Gabriel. God approved his word. The angel of the Lord are now in the hood. Gonna visit with Mary with some news that is good. So he entered the room with Mary. Kissed with the words of the Lord hanging from his lip. And he said to her, "You gotta wake up, girl, you're gonna have a baby. He's gonna save the world. It was prophesied in the days of Isaiah, a newborn prince to save us from the fire. He's gonna call him Emmanuel. It means God with us. He's gonna stop us.
Stop us.
Stop us. Stop us. Stop us going to hell. So the very next morning, chilling with her beau, she's going to be married to this guy named Joe. She sat down and said to him,
"Listen to me, and I'll tell you how it's going to be."
So she told the angel, all the angel said, and he replies and shakes his head.
"If you have this baby, ain't that dissing me? I need sleep on this. Think how it's going to be."
Well, later that night, sleeping in his bed, he gets a visual of an angel in his head. He said, "Listen, Joe, be cool. Think of what you learned in school. If you leave this girl, that's going to be cruel. You know she's a jewel, so don't be a fool. Because this baby is going to be a king who'll rule. Do you know God's going to make it right? So get some sleep and rest tonight. Because in the morning, I know you might just see things in a different light. And do you know you can't fight with what is God's will? He's going to have his way, and it's going to be today. So take this girl to be your wife and protect her throughout the years. Though there'll be joy, there will be tears. You'll have protection from heaven's crew. They'll always be with you, and they will never leave you. Never." In that moment, the angel was gone, but we'll catch up with that story later on. Meanwhile, in a land afar, appeared on high a bright new star. And in the palace of diamonds and bling, the star was observed by a wise, wise king. He called up two brothers, and he said to them,
"Hey, I need my posse."
So they all decided to follow the star, to follow it near and follow it far.
"We three kings of R, E and R looked out yonder and seen this star. We gotta follow it near, we gotta follow it far. Cause we're going by camel, cause we ain't got no car. So now we're travelling for many a mile. We know this star gotta stop in a while. We don't know the time, we don't know the place. But for days and night, we gotta race."
So now we're back with Mary and Joe, for after Bethlehem, they have to go. The Romans need a list of everyone's name, and that's from where Joe's family came. Well, over the landscape, Wild and Crew go on Joe on foot and Mary on mule. They just arrived in town where Mary said,
I gotta find a place to rest my head, have this baby in privacy, that there ain't one house with a vacancy.
Around the town, the couple fled, but all they was offered was an old cow shed for Mary to give her baby birth so the King of Kids could live on Earth.
So, picture if you can a teenage kid about to give birth in an old cow shed.
On the ground.
And around.
There ain't no sound till a newborn cries a king to be.
Crowd.
And then it's all about?
It's our shining glory.
The start of a story God's child made man sent down to earth.
In poverty.
To give us worth.
And on the hills near Bethlehem
sit some shepherds.
And the angels also visit them.
Don't fear, spoke the angels. Now don't be stressed, for all peace on earth and will be confessed.
To you, in David's town this day, is born of David's line, a saviour who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign.
The heavenly babe you shall find, to human view displayed, all meanly wrapped in swathing bands, and in a manger laid.
The shepherds decide there's not a minute to waste, so off to the town they went post haste, and in a stable mean and lowly, they found God's Son, a sight most holy.
And they gathered round in adoration to worship the baby king who had saved their nation. Not just the nation, I mean the whole wide world nation. The future of the man in his tiny fist is curled. They all join together with kings and cattle. They witness the start of a mighty battle, because God's come to earth in the form of man to take up the arms against Satan.
But this is just the start of a very big story about Jesus' life and all his glory. And it's written down in a mighty book that's called the Bible. You want to take a look? It tells of how he would teach and preach, and even the outcast, sick and broken, he would reach. Of how some very bad dudes killed him on a cross, but that ain't the end. He didn't leave you in the lurch. If you want to know more,
we'll see you in church.
There you go. Now we have a chance to return to the traditional. And we're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, another renditioning of this in verse form. And just the wonders of the truth of what Christmas is about. Let's stand as we sing together.
The silent star.
Well, I think it's right that we spend just a moment or two still thinking a bit more about that baby. He had a family, we said. He had somewhere out of the cold. But one other important thing that the family needed, and perhaps some of the younger ones can help me with this, that the baby needed. Can you think of anything else that a baby needs that we haven't mentioned yet? Yeah? Any idea? No? Well, I'll ask the younger ones, okay? Josh?
Attention,
that's probably true. Whether they should always get it, it's another matter. But they certainly demand a lot of attention, yeah? They do need milk. That's part of the food they have. See if you can guess from this, a four-letter word that babies need that we haven't mentioned yet. Any help? It's coming, isn't it? A baby needs a name, doesn't it? You don't want to keep calling a baby it or thing or blob or anything like that, do you really? I mean, it's not very nice. Babies need names. And it can be one of the most difficult things parents have to decide, is what sort of tag do you give to a child? It's some time since Liz and I had to worry about this. And I must say that at the time that we were going through that trauma, I would quite easily have settled on a number. I think Carolyn could have been one. Joel would have been four. It would have been so simple, I would probably not have often got it wrong. But there you go. How do you decide? You need, of course, to be careful, don't you, with initials. That's one of the things you have to think. What does it spell if you just get the initials? I mean, what would have happened if my middle names were Robert Ian? That would have been a problem, wouldn't it, for me, to go through life with a name like that. So I'm very glad that my parents thought about initials. There are associations that people make with names as well. I mean, I was bullied at school by somebody called Clive. Nothing against any Clives who are here today, but it wasn't my first choice of name. Liz had a very difficult Uncle Carl, and we wouldn't have wanted to call our children Carl, even though I liked the name Carl, but she had these associations, and that's the way it is, isn't it? Of course, different cultures have different ways of approaching this. Last year we had some visitors here that we know as a church from Korea. And in that culture, when they had their baby here, we went and visited soon after it was born and said, what's the baby's name? And said, we haven't been able to phone up the grandfather to ask yet. And to us, that was a very strange concept. But it was the grandfather of the new baby that would name it, not the parents. They wouldn't presume to come up with the name. And so that can be the way sometimes. Of course, in British culture, in English culture, then it's a bit different. We choose names because we like it, because some celebrities got it, or we think it's a bit different or whatever. And it's only after we've chosen the name that we then eventually go and look up, perhaps, what does this name mean? And does it fit the child, or will it fit them? Anybody know what David means? Love or beloved. That's a pretty good name, isn't it? I've got a middle name, the name James. Lots of Jameses here. Anybody know what James means? Trickster or deceiver? Not quite so positive, perhaps. Maybe fitting, but not quite so positive. I've actually got another middle name that I don't often tell people about, so you're all let into a big secret this morning. I'm also called Murray. That's my third middle name. Why? I've no idea. I got so many. And that means Lord and Master in the Gaelic, apparently. So I think that one fits pretty okay. Names have a meaning, and we look for the meaning of the name afterwards to just see what it is. And perhaps that's something for you to chat to each other about afterwards. What's the meaning of your name and whether you know it and all the rest of it? Well, that baby born in Bethlehem didn't lack in the name area either. His name is one of the major emphases of the Bible accounts. If you read the story from the Bible, you know, just put on one side the wrapped up Christmas we had and perhaps the children's one, the Bible focuses even more on the name of this baby. And there were no long deliberations by Mary and Joseph. They didn't have to sit and discuss for evenings and flick through books and try and come up with a name. It was a bit more like the Korean method. They were given the name by the ultimate father of that baby. And of course we all know the name that the baby was given. It was Jesus. Yeshua was the name, as they would probably have pronounced it. Or Joshua, which is the Hebrew pronunciation of the name Jesus. And when Mary was told that that's what her baby was going to be called, I think she would have been thrilled. Because Joshua would have brought all sorts of thoughts to her mind. Can anybody tell me anything that Joshua did, in the character Joshua in the Old Testament? Any stories about Joshua you remember? No, perhaps you haven't done that in your Sunday school classes yet. Have you done it in church, any of you adults? What did Joshua do? That's right. He led the people into the land of Canaan, the battle of Jericho. The walls fell down after walking around seven times and Mark playing his trumpet. And the whole thing just fell down after all of that. Great story. Joshua, one of the great leaders of Israel. That's a good name to give our son. And perhaps we're not as familiar, but there was also another Joshua who came later in Israel's history. That the good Jews would have known just as much about him as they knew about the first Joshua. Because he was the high priest who helped the people when they first came back from exile, back to the land of Israel. Hundreds of years after the first Joshua, hundreds of years before Jesus, that was the Joshua. So Mary would have thought, what a great name. What wonderful heroes my baby can live up to. But then they went on to say, actually, more than that, it's what that name means that's important. Those first Joshuas were pointing to the one who was to come. And Joshua really means Jehovah saves. The Lord of the Old Testament is going to save. And that is what is said. The reason for the name given so clearly to Mary and Joseph. Call his name Jesus. Call his name Jesus, they were told, time after time. Three times at least, we are told that in the Bible story of the birth of Jesus. And then when Jesus was born, and the shepherds were told, a saviour has been born for you. He was living up to his name and would do. And it was given him because God knew that this was the one who was going to live up to his name totally. We're told that the baby was born to save his people. Save his people from what? Well, it wasn't just from Rome. They were the occupying power in that area at the time. It wasn't just from Herod, who was a pretty nasty piece of work. It wasn't just from all the burdens and the legalism of the religious leaders of the time. Even greater than that, and what makes it such good news for people ever since, he was born to save his people from their sin, from the sins that have done. There's a much more powerful and tyrannical and confusing enemy than any earthly authority. And that is this concept of sin. Sin is not doing what God made us to do. Not living in the way God made us to live. Not following him, but going against him. And it's the mark of everybody in here. One thing I can say we all have in common, whatever our backgrounds, is that we are all, by nature, going to do what God doesn't want. The Bible makes that absolutely plain. We are all sinful. And the Bible also says that the consequence of sin, of being a traitor, of being against God, is that we have to be punished. And the ultimate punishment is there because it's the ultimate crime. To go against the one who made us means that we have to die ourselves. Everything bad and evil in our world comes from our desire to please ourselves rather than God. And so before Jesus came, people would have said, well, what is the hope? How can we really hope to ever be right with God? How can we hope to live in a way which is pleasing and which will ultimately last forever? Well, each one of us needs to be saved. We need a saviour. And that is why Christians rejoice at Christmas. That's why we love to laugh and sing cheerful and uplifting songs and so on. Why we get together with others. Because our hope has been met. How does Jesus do that? Well, there were three nicknames, you might almost say, that were given to Jesus. Extra names, titles that he had, which can help us to understand how Jesus did it. The first one was talked about in the rap, you might have heard. Emmanuel, God with us. Only God himself could save us. We couldn't save ourselves. There will never be a human being good enough to be able to say, I will be punished instead of everybody else. That just can't work, because we are all born in a state away from God. And so God himself said, I will become a human being, and I will be a perfect human being so that I can die in their place. Emmanuel, God with us. And this wasn't just something that the God thought up at the last moment sort of thing. This was his plan from even before he made us. And that comes out of the title Messiah or Christ. That means the one that God has anointed, the one God set apart to do this. And we're told in the Bible story that Jesus would be called the Christ. Christ is the Greek word equivalent of Messiah, the Hebrew word, the promised one. He came for a purpose, and that purpose was to live a perfect life and then die a death for us. God punishing him in place of us. What an amazing truth that is, that we can celebrate at Christmas. And the final title he had was the title Lord. Well, not the final title, but the main one that's mentioned there. Lord, which means master and ruler. A bit like Murray, but I won't go into that again. Master, ruler. He is the Lord. He is the boss. He is the one who says. He is the one we are called to follow. Becoming a Christian, accepting what Jesus has done, doesn't just mean saying, oh, it's great, God was born as a man. Oh, it's wonderful, he died to save me. It's saying, I am willing now to live my life for him. And if we don't make that step as well, then really, we aren't beginning to follow the one who has done everything for us. So just as we go into Christmas this year, I wonder if there's anybody here who still feels, I'm caught in sin. I'm still bound down by things I don't want to do. I know that Christmas might be a bit of an exception, but generally speaking, day after day, I think things and say things and do things that even I know are wrong, let alone what God thinks. I wonder if we're struggling with the knowledge that that means God has got to punish us someday. Sometime we're going to have to pay for those sins. Well, if that's the case, then the wonderful good news of Christmas is that this Christmas can become the day of salvation for us. We can find that we can be released from that burden because Jesus came and died and said, I've given you this gift. You just need to receive it. You just need to make me and accept me as your Lord. Because that baby grew up and absolutely lived up to his name. He died in my place. He died in your place. He was our substitute. And then he rose from the dead. And he's now with his Father once again. And one day he's going to come back, we're told in the Bible. And then everything will be drawn together. And ultimately justice will be done. Many of us who are here have met with Jesus. Or he has met with us. He's drawn us to himself. And we can commend the wonderful truth it is to live for him. If you haven't done that yet, then don't waste this opportunity. Let this Christmas be the first of many when you can truly celebrate the one who is not just Jesus, but Emmanuel, the Messiah, the Lord of your life. We can find peace from the fear of death. We can find victory in the temptations of life by trusting in him, the one who came to save. It really is that simple. Some people say it sounds too good to be true, and it is. But it's not too good to be true. It is true, and it is so good. So Christmas can become truly a wonderful reason to celebrate, not just on one day a year, but for the whole rest of time and eternity. And I pray that that will be the case for each one of us who are here today. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that when you came to this world, you came to fulfill a wonderful plan, that your names had been prepared from before the creation of the world because this was the way it was going to be. You, our Almighty Father God, are so full of love that even when you made us and saw that we would go astray, you had a way back for us. And we thank you that Christmas is when we can focus on that particularly. And we thank you for the fact that Jesus, the name Jesus, reminds us that you have come to save us from our sin. The fact you're called Emmanuel reminds us that you are God himself. The fact that you are called Christ reminds us that it's all part of a plan. And the fact that you are called Lord reminds us that we should seek to follow you from now on. Help us in these things, Lord, and may we rejoice this Christmas because of that more than anything else. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we, and sing the final carol together. Once in Royal David City, this is another very well-known one. As the music starts, let's stand. in our lives. Let's pray that we can give glory to God in the highest and on earth be part of the peace which comes to all men on whom his favour rests.